71.
Mrs. Green a little while ago and checking on Don, and she was talking about prayer, talking about, I guess she listened to the broadcast this morning. I was talking about back in the 90s. She said that's all everybody done was just prayed. Amen. She said when they first come over here, they prayed in the morning. They'd pray at dinner. They'd leave from here and go to the prayer grounds and pray, then they'd come back at night and pray. Amen. And talking about Daniel, that's what he done. He prayed morning, noon, and night. I think that's the key to it. And spending some time with the Lord and getting along, get some things. That's how he made it through, the things that he made it through, Daniel. And just being with the Lord. But anyway, I appreciate being back in God's house tonight. And we'll get Willie to run up here real quick, and we'll take up the offering. And I think it's about the same crowd, but we'll just double check. But anyway, we'll take up the offering real quick. And you give him, Lord, as he blessed you. We'll pray here. And if you would, continue to pray for Dawn. She said that he had kind of a restless night last night, and they had a couple good nights, and then it's kind of been a restless. And so pray for him. I hope he has a good night tonight. Lord helps him. And but anyway, I'll stop right there. Brother Willie, you pray for us tonight, if you would.
Our Father, in Jesus' name, as we come, Lord, we want to come and say thank you one more time. Lord, I'm glad at the throne of God we can come. I'm glad it's open. I'm glad, our Father, that we can come. And thank you tonight, Lord, for what you've done for us. Most of all, our Father, I thank you for your Son that came and bled and died and shed his blood that we could have eternal life. And I'm glad that life's in him. And I'm glad, thank God, he come that day, skipping up over the hill that day, come with all of heaven, come, moved in our soul. God, we're so much obliged. We appreciate it. God, we thank you, our Father, for the church, the body of the Son of God that you purchased and redeemed. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help your children. Lord, thank you tonight, our Father, that you know all about us. I'm glad that, our Father, you care. You're full of compassion. And I'm glad we can cast all our care upon you, for you care, our Father. I'm glad that we're not alone down here, that, our Father, you sent the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Comforter, Lord. And our Father, I pray tonight for our dear brother. Lord God, I know he's looking in on the other side. God, our Father, between here and there, I pray you'd help him, touch him, Lord, give him rest. Our Father, I pray tonight, Lord, don't let him suffer. But our Father, I pray tonight, oh God, I thank you, Lord. Our Father, it reminded us that, Lord, we got to pray with him so much, Lord. God, I pray you'd bless him and help him, Lord. And I thank you for every prayer that you answered, Lord. And God, we did see you do a lot of things, see you answer a lot of prayers, not because of us, but because of Jesus, your darling Son. Bless this time, our Father. Oh, God, help us to worship God, the Lamb of God, our Father. Bless you, servant. God, whoever, whatever's done and whatever's said, may it be done to thy glory and grace. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Let's sing number 125, He Keeps Me Singing. And that's true, He does. That's He's one to keep you singing. I can't have joy without He gives it to me. I mean, I was talking to somebody there the other day, and they was talking. Oh, I was talking to this couple that's been coming. I can't remember their name, but they were talking about. She said she didn't know how people make it without the Lord, and I don't know. I don't know how they get through. I mean, there's things that happen. This life, I mean, there's troubles that come, and I don't know how you. I don't know how you deal with it without Him. I don't know how you can stay happy. But He keeps me happy. Let's sing number 125. He keeps me singing. Number 57. Amen. Thank God for his grace.
Amen.
Appreciate the Lord, and I thank God for his grace.
Amen.
Amen. Bible said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I keep thinking about that scripture over in Romans chapter 6. I believe it is where it talked about, let me read it because I'm going to mess it up. It said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. Sold under sin.
Yeah.
And I read that the other day and it hit me a little different. It said sold under sin.
Amen.
And I thought about that. We had all of that weight on us.
Amen.
All of that weight. All of that weight of sin on us. We was under it.
Yeah.
We had all of that condemnation on us. We was under it. I mean, we had the whole weight of it.
Amen.
And I thought about that other verse over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, for we're bought by price. Amen. We're sold, yeah.
Amen.
But thank God I've been bought with a price.
Amen.
Amen. I thought I had all this on me, but I'm glad he come and purchased it. Took it off of me. Bore my sins in his body. He bore the load. Took all. I remember Jimmy giving his testimony and said when he went out of here, he said, I felt like I was floating on top of the ground. Say, what happened there? He wasn't under this weight no more. All of that weight been lifted off. Wasn't under that load of guilt and shame and condemnation, the judgment of God and sin and everything else. All that's out. He's out from under that now. Ain't that good? You're out from under it. I mean, Lord God, it ain't on you now.
Hallelujah.
You ain't under it no more. Thank God. The Lord lifted us up above all of that. I think of that often over there. Noah, when they went through that flood, and but he seen the judgment of God. He seen the death. But he is above all of it. And we may see a lot of things taking place, but I'm glad he's lifted us above all of that. Thank God that those things will never affect my soul. Thank God. But anyway, I appreciate that. Thank God for the grace of God. All right, William, come on up here. You pray for him. I appreciate him. Appreciate that. Now, Lord. Pray the Lord just help him and touch him. Amen. I got some sanitizer.
Well, if you have your Bible, look with me this evening to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm scared to put this thing on. Every time I wear it nowadays, I damage it. It's got more tape on it. Used to know this fella in growing up, and he was always kind of a nerdy fella, and I'd say, "Hey, you got new glasses?" He said, "No, just new tape." And he had a big wad of tape right there. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and Lord, I've got a few thoughts on my mind, and I hope the Lord give me the energy to get through this. But I appreciate the Lord, and I'm glad to be in his house. And we need him more than we realize, and we can't afford. I thought the other day, I heard this expression, that the missions conference is a business meeting of the church to determine the fate of the lost. And I thought that was pretty good, but I think every time we get together determines something. See, this is a spiritual organization, and we're a living entity. And this is different than the Moose Lodge or VFW or anything like that. When the children of God get together, there's something spiritual, something supernatural that takes place or ought to take place. And we meet together around the name of the Lord Jesus, and we meet with expectation of receiving something not of this world. Listen, if you've come here for self-help or for words of positive reinforcement, you can find that in a lot of other places. We need something spiritual, something that will affect us, something that will do a work beyond this outer man, that will get and refresh and help and feed that inner man. Amen. The outward man, you know, I'm convinced that the falling away is not necessarily a lack of church attendance. I don't think it's that in the last days churches will be, sort of like we are tonight. I was going to look for a different example, but I don't think that's it. I think they've departed from the faith, and we'll look, they'll still be there. They'll still attend, but there's no living quality. There's no glory. There's no power. There's nothing. It's just come and hear and leave, and there's no power to change, to alter, to make a single difference. There's no power to alter us outside, and there's no power to change the world out there. There's no power to make a difference. There's no salt to preserve. There's no salt to sting. There's no salt to cure, to heal, to bind. It's all diminished. And what does Scripture say? What did Jesus say? It's good for nothing. And that's religion in these days, good for nothing. That's what he said, but to be trodden underfoot of men. But we meet here in expectation. That's what the word hope means, in expectation that the Lord would meet with us and the Lord would be our difference. You remember in the Exodus over there, after he had given Moses the commandments and the children of Israel had sinned, the Lord said, Moses, I'm tired of this. You take those people and go into the land that I've promised. And that was a scary proposition to Moses. He said, Lord, if you're not going, I'm not going. Lord, he said, if you, what in the world am I supposed to do with this people? If you go not with us, carry us up not hence. He said, you're the one that makes the difference. You're the one that distinguishes us from all the other nations. Apart from you, there are nations that have other laws. There are nations that have commandments, that have rules. There are nations that have gods, but it's your divine presence that makes us different, that separates us. And it's the presence of God, the very real presence of God that makes the difference in the church. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. Thank you very much, sir. Amen. So let's look here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I want to preach a few things about the last days that we're in. And I won't be before you long. The Bible said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I want you to notice right there, those aren't the usual litany of sins that stir people up and get people in such a tizzy, but those are the sins that produce a perilous time. Baptist circles, we want to put the kibosh on about a handful of sins, and we think if we can suppress a few sins of the flesh, why then that'll make a change in the world. But no, these sins here aren't usually mentioned in those things, but these are the sins that make this world perilous to live in. When men love their own selves, and that's the first one, men shall be lovers of their own selves to the detriment of everybody else. And when men elevate themselves or put themselves and their wants, and it leads to men lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And if that's not the day we're in, I don't know. I'm blind and can't see afar off. But men shall be, I preach this overseas one day and I read this verse and said, men shall be lovers of their own selfies. I think that's the day that we're living in. Men are lovers of their own selfies, like great big strong men. I mean, looking at taking pictures of themselves and backgrounds and changing, and oh my Lord. We're less perilous times. I was talking to Gary Steich one day, telling him about a restaurant down in Asheville. And some breakfast restaurant down there that we went to, and they had on the menu, it said bacon of the day, and it was some sort of cranberry caramelized whatever. And Brother Gary said, when they've touched the bacon, son, the country's gone. When they go messing with the bacon, we're under. It's gone. But the Apostle Paul says we're living in perilous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. That list of sins seems like a required virtues in a political candidate nowadays. That seems like the average list of traits of a political candidate, but that's the day that we're living in. He said, now look at this. This is the accumulation of that, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, all of these things reduced down, that doesn't make them irreligious. No, that having a thought, they've taken all these things and wrapped it in godliness. They've taken all these things and wrapped it in the cloak of righteousness. Matter of fact, when the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter both, and John for that matter, when they go writing about the last days, they don't start outside the four walls of the church and talk about what it's like out there. They first start within. And they first start, I'd preaching the other day when Paul said, you'll see my face no more, and after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock, and certain of your own selves shall arise with doctrines of devils, and they'll lead many astray. It starts at the beginning, and here's a crowd that has a form of godliness, and it looks, and it is presentable, and is presented as godliness, but there's no power behind it. And that's the frightening thing. It looks and it makes a good appearance, but there's no power in it. The Apostle Paul, he said at a certain juncture that men were contesting about his authority, and he said, I'm not coming to hear their speech and their speech or their preaching, but he said, I want to see the power. Let's see who's got the power. You remember back there in the book of, in the Old Testament, the Lord Elijah said, let's just see who's got the power in all this, and let God's power be seen in all of it. And we're living in days where there's a form of godliness, but they have not just turned away from the power, but denied the power thereof. And the instruction for the child of God is, from such turn away. Turn away from that stuff that appears godly, but has no power in it. If there's no power, it won't help you. If there's no power, it won't change you. If there's no power, it won't save you. It'll just make you a proselyte. It'll make you look good. It'll make you talk good. It'll clean you up outside, but it won't change you inside. You need power to change you. Listen, he's talking here about the last times. And if there's ever an occasion ever in the history of the church that power is required, it's the last time. We can't afford to be playing the game. We can't afford, like Brother Mike said this morning, the appearance of churchiness and to go through the ritual or the form of it. No, we've got to have some power. I appreciate what Elena said during the camp meeting. She said, you know, we don't always see it like we want to, but you'll never sell us a false bill of goods. I might not always enjoy it like I have in the past, but I know the difference, and you won't sell me on anything else. You won't slap a label on it and try to pass it off. We know the difference. We long for the difference. He said, from such turn away. Now he's preaching about or writing about the last days. He said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That doesn't sound like our day. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. These are open contenders against the real thing. They need to suppress real religion. They need to suppress the real thing. If there's any fire, if there's any power, if there's any love, if there's any glory, they've got to marginalize it and deny it, and they've got to try to turn people away from it. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now verse number 10, but thou hast known, fully known, my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And I won't say something right there. Paul's saying, this is them. They have a form of godliness, but they've no power. The other thing they don't have is persecution. That crowd that has godliness, but no power, there's no persecution. The devil's not against them. The devil's not assailing them. There is no fight. There is no conflict. He'll pack their pews. He'll fill their pulpits. He'll fill their coffers. And he don't care how big the offering is. He know it ain't going nowhere to do nothing no how. He don't care how much they give or how big the building is or how great the show is. He's not against that at all. But Paul said, hey, I've been through the ringer. I've been through the fire. I've been through the furnace. I've been through the storms, and God's power, God has delivered me every time. Amen. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Now I want you to notice that word, I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're in perilous times. And Paul says, I don't mean to alarm you, but it's not going to get easier before we get out of here. It's going to grow worse and worse. And that thought got on my mind. Well, what does Paul advise then in verse number 14? If we're in the last days, if we're in days of godliness but no power, or a form of godliness, a presentation of godliness but no power, you know what I notice about godliness with no power? There's no gospel to it. That you can't find the gospel in any of them things. Listen to Joel Osteen all you want. You'll never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to any of that crowd. They don't talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't talk about none of that stuff. It's all sensual. It's all devilish. It's all how you feel, how you can cope, how you can smile, how you can get ahead, how you can pick up, how can you carry on. And it don't mention Jesus or how he suffered and bled and died and was buried and rose again the third day according to, they leave off all of that business. There's no power in it. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. Now, Paul, all right, we're in perilous times. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. What do you want us to do? Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so Paul here says, I want to tell you this. God hadn't changed his model for these last days. God hadn't altered the blueprint for the last days. This thing is sufficient. Did you realize that all the blueprints God ever gave in the scriptures never deviated one little bit? He didn't come down halfway through the ark building program and said, now, Noah, I think we ought to make this little change here for this sake. No, his blueprint was sufficient for the entirety, for it all. He never once deviated from it. He never once altered it. And God's blueprint is still sufficient. And if God tarries, it'll be sufficient 1,000 years from now. He won't have changed it one little bit. And everybody wants to change the blueprint, and everybody wants to go about a different way, and everybody wants to try to take a different tact, or we need to introduce this. Paul said, you just continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. It's not going to get any easier. I thought about this morning. We're in days where, I think I said it in the prayer room the other night, it's just pestilence. That's what he told us in Matthew 24. Pestilence is just these viruses and things like that. They're not going to lessen up. Isn't it amazing? All these scientific advances to extend the length of men's life, but they can't make the quality of men's life any better at all. Gracious me, if I got to be 100 and going through viruses like I just went through, forget it. Forget it. I don't want it. But he said, here, what do you want? He said, continue that. It's going to get worse, but you just buckle down and you stay with what you've been shown. And I want to say a few things here in verse number 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Stay with the Scriptures. Stay with the Scriptures in the day that you're living in. You see, that's the departing. That's the, when you depart from the Scriptures, you're gone. When you depart, when you base your faith on anything other than the Scriptures, you're gone. I appreciate the experiences that we've had, but in the storm and in the trouble and in trials and in difficulties, it's the Word of God that upholds us. It's the Word of God and the promises of the Scripture that sustain us. That we are kept in, the world is kept in store by the Word of God. All of these preachers, all of these apostles who are writing to these saints in the last days, all of them remind you again and again and again, stay with the Scripture. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Stay with the Scriptures. Matter of fact, when John goes to tell the seven churches, the Lord says, write it down. This revelation, all that you've seen, write it down. Why? That not only they might have it, but that you and I might have it. Thank God. Amen. Stay with the Scriptures. When you deviate from them, when you decide to wing it on your own, the Scriptures are our anchor. They're our foundation. They're our security. They're what? Hey, listen, all flesh is grass, and the glory thereof is the flower of grass. We can't trust this flesh, or we can't trust our mind, but we can trust the Scriptures, thank God. They abide forever. So he tells you, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. What about this last day? What about this last day when things are getting worse? Make your children to know the Holy Scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Amen. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Teach your children the Bible. I mean, read the Bible with them. Get the Word of God in their ears. Get it in their hearts. They might not altogether always pay attention to it. I didn't. But it's the seed, and it's sown. And you don't know which one will find a lodge, and you don't know which one will come out of their mouths at a certain point. If I know anything, I just paying attention to this least one of mine. He can catch things and repeat them. I mean, you think, where in the world did he hear thing one time and then going down the road repeat it? And you think, where in the world did he hear that? Or how in the world did he pick that up? How in the world did he glean that? Where in the world did that come from? And so too with the Scriptures. Get the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. Inundate them with the Scriptures. One day that Scripture will find a lodging place in their heart, and it'll break the heart of stone, thank God. The heart of adamant, the granite heart. It can break it up, thank God, and bring life to it. Don't forsake the Scriptures. I'm going to say secondly, he said in verse number 4, let me say this, and this is strange to say it. He said in verse number 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He talks about the Scriptures for the child, but he says the Scriptures for the man of God. In other words, I wonder if Paul was worried about people preaching without the Scriptures, or preaching not from the Scriptures, and deviating and turning from the Scriptures. There's examples of that all over. I won't go into too many of them. I've told you about them before. Told you about the fella in the village, and he's blind, and he said the unpardonable sin was, it changed every time. I told you about that. Every time you saw him, it was a different unpardonable sin. He was one that said it was adultery. The pardonable sin was adultery. And Zach said, that ain't in the scripture. He said, oh, Zach, you know it is. You know, he ain't read the scriptures. He said, well, show me. He said, oh, Zach, you know it is. You just, he couldn't show you nothing. But it's strange there that he would tell the man of God, hey, man of God, the scriptures are for you. We get the tendency, we want to preach against everything and every fad and every trend, but if you preach a scripture, brother, it'll do the job.
Yes,
amen. We got, I used to know a fella go between services. He'd go out and he'd peep in people's cars. You know, he'd peep in people's cars, and back in them days before we had everything on your phone or whatever, you had these things called cassettes. You had cassettes. And even before that, we had 8-tracks. But we had cassettes, and you'd see. And then he got into CDs, and he'd go peeking through people's cars. And then he had a word of knowledge that he's going to preach on. He's either going to preach on country music, or he's going to preach on rock and roll music, or he's going to preach on smooth jazz. I don't know. Whatever. He just got this word of knowledge all of a sudden, but he'd going around in people's cars. Some of you are still messing around with tobacco products, and God has showed me. Well, God ain't showed you nothing. You went looking. But you got people, and they preach on a litany of things, but they don't preach the scriptures. The scriptures are alive. The scriptures are a balm. The scriptures are grace. The scriptures are peace. The scriptures can do all of those things that you want to see done and do it right so that there'll not be any repentance necessary. Amen. Godly sorrow. Oh, you can get people up to the altar and you can get people to weep around, but it won't change them. It's the scripture that'll do that, that'll change a man's heart. And Seer advises the man of God, don't forget the scriptures. Strange that he should say that for the last days. I'm talking about now things to last. He said, continue thou in the scriptures. Verse number 4, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. And the last days, what are we supposed to do? Buckle down, get no, preach the word. Preach the word. 2 Peter chapter number 2, it said, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. And I mean, only 8 souls were saved. You talk about a small crowd, but he was a preacher. Preach the word. Yeah. That commandment is not rescinded. Matter of fact, it's more necessary. It's going to get harder to preach as the days go on. I started to say, I'm a little foggy. These days of pestilence and things like that, sickness is coming around. Everybody gets afraid of sickness. I won't say this, that there's things to be more afraid of than the flu virus. There's a whole other side to that sickness business. That's spiritual sickness. That's spiritual sickness. And that's pervasive in this land. Once you get that, they ain't got nothing up at the Walgreens to change it. Once you get that, they ain't got nothing uptown at the pharmacist to take it out of you. No, you need to get back in the church among the sick folks and to hear preaching. That's what'll cure that. There's a spiritual sickness. See, why are we gathered around here after a flu bug is right? Because there's something worse than that. Why do we gather in here? Why did we gather in days of pandemic and COVID against this regulation and that regulation? Because there's something worse than all that. Amen. Amen. There's something worse than all that. Sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes all we want to do is preserve our body and preserve the health of other people. And we let souls die and go to hell. Amen. So long as we don't have a sniffle or a cough or a fever or whatnot. There are things worse than that. There's spiritual sickness that can only be cured through the preaching of the word of God. And can I say this? And you listening out there, you ain't going to get it. This ain't through osmosis. You ain't going to get it on the YouTube. And you're not going to feel it. You're not going to get it. You're going to have to come and assemble. I think sometimes we think that the Lord will be sufficient if we all have a Zoom church. They want Zoom work where they don't do nothing but sit around in their pajamas. They ought to start paying them with Zoom money. See how long that goes. They want to do virtual work, pay them with virtual money and see how long they stay at home. But we want virtual church and virtual worship, and I said it before the pandemic, is that's what we had. The reason why we were so easily swayed into that is because that's most of what people had before it anyway, was virtual.
Yes, sir.
That one was free. Amen. What are we doing in the last days? Preach the word. It ain't going to get easier preaching the word. It's not going to get any easier preaching the word. In the Old Testament, closer to the Advent, the closer you got, the harder it got to preach.
Amen.
Those last prophets that he called, he said, you're preaching. He said, I'm sending you to people that are not going to listen, not going to like what you've got to say. But he said, preach anyway.
Amen.
Preach anyway. Now, notice this. I mean, it's after this book, Philemon occurs. And there are gleanings. Thank God for that. I mean, you can't preach the word and fruit not be brought. The word of God produces fruit. I mean, you're not going to see the bumper harvest. You're not going to see the great days of revival and sweeping whatever. I'll say this to you. This is another freebie. All that sweeping revival business, that ain't the scriptures. I don't care how good it feels. Got a bunch of college students who don't want to go back to class, and if they got to sit around and sing praise and worship to avoid it, hey, that's their business. But don't tell me that's God.
Right. Amen. Right.
Preach the word. He said the time will come. Now he's telling Timothy this. What about this for a lecture? To a lecture to a ministerial student. Hey, Timothy, you're my protege. I want to tell you something. Preach the word. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But that doesn't excuse you from preaching the word. But they shall, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, I'm talking about the last days. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said they're not going to listen. The crowd will grow slim, but there'll come in some hungry souls. They'll come in. There are people out there who are starving, who are in desperate need. And they'll run here and there. And if they find something, they'll come and they'll receive. But you've got to man your post, whether they come or whether they don't come, whether they hear or whether they don't hear. You've got to be faithful and man your post. You've got to keep the light in the lighthouse. You've got to preach the word in spite of all of it. He said, preach it. Said, endure afflictions. That's the second time he mentioned that. Endure afflictions. What are you doing in the last days? We're sticking with God's model. Preaching the word. Staying with the scriptures. I want to say a few other things here quickly. And I'm done. I want you to look in Peter. Well, look in Hebrews while I'm right there. Hebrews chapter 10. He said in verse number 24, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. A lot of times we use that to preach why we ought to just, you ought to stay faithful to the church as the closer we get to the second coming is the closer we get to the Lord's return. But we skip over that verse number 24, considering one another. Hey, listen, we're not in this. I'm not the only one enduring afflictions. I'm not the only one suffering. You know, we've got an eclipse coming up tomorrow. And they tell you about 145, 148, things will begin to change. And there will be a noticeable difference all the way till in our area, in the Bristol area, about 311, we'll have about an 80 to 85% eclipse. But the whole world will feel the effects of it. Everything in the path of that eclipse will feel the effects of it. Nature itself will feel the effects of it. The creatures that lie dormant during the day and come out at night, they'll feel the effects of it. I say that to say that we're in days where everybody feels the effects of it. You're not the only person struggling under affliction. You're not the only person struggling with the oppression. It's on every place. It's on the whole world, and it's not easing up. It's a growing and growing in intensity. But consider one another. Remember, you're not the only one in this. Think about your brother. Think about your sister. Remember one another. Provoke one another unto love and to good works. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, that's the problem over there in Timothy. That they've only considered themselves. Men should be lovers of their own selves and neglected and forgot about everybody else. But Paul instructs, you know, remember one another and consider one another. My Hannah, when she brings the little ones over, if Luke and Belle are staying with us, she's got a little rope. Got that little jump rope, and everybody's got to grab a hold of that rope if we're crossing the big parking lot. Everybody get your place on the rope and grab the front and grab the back, all four of them, Derek, Dixie, Luke and Belle, and whomever else is at the house at the time. And she leads them across there. We're all in this together. Get your hay. Yeah. What are you saying? I'm saying we ought to throw out a lifeline and say, get a hold of it. Yeah, we're not in this alone. Get a hold of it. Let's pull. Let's walk together in this. Yeah. This thing's too big. This thing's too scary. This thing's too great. It's growing harder. Hey, get a hold of the rope and let's go hand in hand. Let's hold on together and walk through this thing together. And if you get weak, let me reach under and shoulder your burden for a little while. And if you get tired, we'll pause. But hey, get a hold of the rope and let's go together. Amen. What about these last days? Get a hold of the rope. Get your place in line and let's go together, thank God. Amen. There are a few in number, but there ain't never was a big crowd for the real thing. There never was. And it'll get fewer and fewer as it goes on, but consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And so much the not forsaking the assembling of yourselves to ourselves together as the manner of some is. First Peter, chapter number 4. I'm talking about the last days, and I'm done here. One other scripture, and then I'm done. First Peter, 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. He said the end's at hand. Paul said we're in perilous times. He said in the latter days. He talked about that. John talks about we're in the last days. And he said the end of all things is at hand. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Hey, this is a hard day we're living in. You talk about stumbling and staggering and barely hanging on. And and coasting through. I marvel being a missionary, going out and listening to preachers talk. I wonder, I think, the way they talk about things, I think they must only sin monthly. You get up, honest to goodness, do you hear these fellas preach? And they say, brother, I don't know about you, but when on those occasions when I sin, I think, what is that? Two or three times a year, the way they make it sound. When on those occasions that I'm sin, I sin, I can't do anything, and I'm all so overwhelmed. And they make you think like they don't, like it's that they hadn't sinned in a week or two, and they're living so high and so holy and so above it all that sin doesn't even enter into their mind, and they don't have to deal with the same things. And I guess maybe if all you do is go from preacher's meeting to preacher's meeting and from buffet to buffet and camp meeting to camp meeting, I don't know, apart from gluttony, what's in there much is to get a hold of. But you listen to these people talk, they're like, sin is such a rare thing in their lives, and I think, gracious me, I stagger out of the room of the night and lose my religion with the toys on the floor, and I get up in the morning and look at the beds, and I think, did they sleep in those beds, or did they just decide to throw everything up in the air and watch it come down for fun? And I think, what in the world are you doing, boys, and where are we living, and what is and I can't make it in the morning without, and I hear these fellas, and he talks here, charity will cover a multitude of sins. Hey, it's getting harder and harder. And you're going to need love, and you're going to need grace, and you're going to need forgiveness and forbearance, and they're going to be, hey, listen, if they stagger and fall and fumble and stagger back in, we ought to say, hey, glad you're back in. We know how it is out there. It's hard. And we're just glad you staggered back into the house of God. Hey, I mean, you might have come in from the hog pen, but thank God you've come back. Thank the Lord you're here. We're glad. Hey, let us help you. Let's love one another. We can't afford to say, oh, these last days, we've got to be this, that, or the other. Hey, listen, this thing, it's like a centrifuge, and it's spinning. I mean, it's getting faster and faster, and you just got to hold on, and it'll come your turn, and you'll get slung out after a while. You'll get slung out and think, why, oh, my Lord, and you'll have to come back shamefully and embarrassed and whatever. But oh, I hope in that day there's somebody to say, we know we've been there. Thank God you're here. You're back. It's all right. The temptation will be, listen to me now, the temptation will be to go back to one of them other places where there's no judgment, where there's no preaching. And slip in with that crowd. When you fall out of the real thing, the temptation is to slide back into something else and sort of check the religious box off. Forget about all that. Forget about it all. Hey, listen, come back disheveled. Come back. You know what? I'm sure the Father in Luke chapter 15, probably had some pretty good neighbors who'd watch them boys grow up. Who'd any one of them would have probably said, why, sure, come on in here, sit down. Oh, God, every one of them would probably have welcomed him back. That boy said, I ain't stopping at the neighbors, I got to go home. And he said, since I ain't got nothing to cover up my mistakes, I just got to go mistakes and all. Since I ain't got nothing, they know. I got no means to cover it up. I got no means to hide it. But oh, I got a hunger. I got a hunger that nobody else's table can satisfy. I've got a hunger that nobody else's home will take care of. And shame are all, rags are all, stench are all. I've got to go back and sit down one more time at my Father's house. That's the only one that'll do. And he found a welcome. Hurriedly, let me look one more place. A place y'all know well, the book of Jude. What to do in the last days, have fervent charity. Verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. Do you notice all of this? None of it is singular. In these last days, none of it's singular. You can't do it on your own. Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't think Jude would have mentioned that right before the revelation. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I read over there in 2 Peter that they preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You've got to preach with the Holy Ghost, and you've got to pray with the Holy Ghost as well. He said, but ye beloved, he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. What about the last days? He's able. He's able. He's able in the last days. He's able to help us. He's able to keep us in the love of God. He's able to keep us in the scriptures. He's able to keep us in afflictions, to keep our hearts and our minds. He's able to help us keep looking for mercy. He's able to help us keep preaching. He's able to help us keep praying, to keep building up one another. He's able, and unto him be glory. That ain't a whole lot, is it? My Lord. He didn't say, you don't know, he didn't say nothing in there about your finances. Matter of fact, you want to know what he did say about your finances, go to James. Your portfolio's in the last day. Read James. James says it's all going to corrupt. It's all going to rust. Eat his death a canker. That's your financial situation. That's your financial outlook. That's Social Security and your 401k. It's all going to get burned up in the last days. You better have some faith to build up, some to stand on, and a promise to cling to. Amen. You better have a promise to feed you and a promise to take care of you and a promise to uphold you, because all that other stuff that we've been counting on is going to go by the wayside. You better have a promise to put something in you to preach. Amen. Brother Mike, thank you.
That's good. That'll help you right there. Stay in the Word. I was thinking about, somebody asked me something about that a while back, talking about gold and silver. Said, have you bought any? I said, I thought about it, but it's going to canker. Going to perish with you. What are you going to do with that? And besides that, you can't eat it. All of that stuff is nothing. I mean, it's only valued because they place their value on it. I mean, we need something from the Lord, like you said, that power. And I thought, and encouraging one another. I was trying to preach a little bit this morning over in Daniel. And I thought about when them boys stood before the king. And I wonder which one said, we're not going to do it. And it'd been easy for one of those others, but you know what? They stuck together. Amen. They stayed together. And I like that. We need one another in these last days. We need the Lord in these last days. And I think that's what the virtual church has done. It's separated where people are not together. And it's, you know, it's easy not to love somebody you don't see. It's easy, you know, to lose that burden. I hear some time back, I was talking to this fellow. I'll let you go here in a second, but I was talking to this fellow, and I thought he was somebody else, to be honest. And I talked to him for 2 or 3 weeks, and then he walked in, and he introduced himself, and I said, "You ain't the one I thought you was." But see, when you can't put a face with it, it's easy, you know. But when you, I mean, we need one another. We do. Love on one another. And we need that power. I think that's a lot of the power that's lost. Power to love. Power, the power of being gracious. Power of mercy. I mean, that's what God uses. I think that's what he gives us. I mean, power to forgive. Yeah, just, but anyway, I sure do appreciate that. Well, that'll help you there. But anyway, I'm going to let you stand to your feet. We'll go here in a minute. Anybody got anything on your heart? But, amen. Well, if not, I'm going to ask Brother Willie. I'm going to let him dismiss us here tonight. And remember the service Thursday night. Come back and be with us and pray for some of these folks that's recuperating and getting over this. And Lord willing, we'll get through it. Bear one another's burdens here.